Alrighty, welcome to the Dangerous Men podcast, the rebirth of the Dangerous Men podcast. Lowell, how long has it been since the last time we recorded the Dangerous Men podcast?
Too long.
That's what you say when you don't actually remember the date.
Hey, for sure.
Which means it's been a long time.
I have no idea.
We are in somewhere Ohio, running a couple of Dangerous Men groups through the Freedom Retreat at a sweet Airbnb. Anyone know the actual location where we are in Ohio?
Lancaster or Hocking Hills?
It's south of Logan.
This is Hocking Hills. It's one of the most beautiful places in Ohio.
And that's saying a lot because there's not very many beautiful places in Ohio.
So not a high bar.
There's like one hill.
We are here with
Gavin Gunkel.
And?
Max Lee.
Max is a student at Ohio State University.
I'm a student at Ohio State. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got here.
Just get me.
Yeah,
who cares about him? Basically, I grew up in Columbus, and I was like, of course, I want to go to school. I had a choice between going to Wisconsin and Ohio State. Ended up choosing Ohio State because of I wanted to actually get deeper in my faith. So Ohio State seemed like the choice based off of some other conditions.
Okay, and so you ended up at Ohio State, got connected with the Newman Center right away, got connected with SPO pretty much off the bat?
Yeah,
is that how it went?
Pretty much right off the bat, actually. Yeah, I had a guy, I was in a youth group in high school, and I had a guy named Daniel who came and kind of like showed me that you could actually like live your faith well in college. So I ended up, that's like literally the reason I went to Ohio State.
Oh, cool.
Because of SPO.
Yeah,
I know this isn't an SPO podcast.
No, that's awesome.
Shameless plug.
We're running two groups with St. Paul's Outreach that are at the University of Ohio State, and we love it because it's the whole foundation of Dangerous Men is we want to partner with other missionary organizations that are doing incredible work on the front lines of evangelization and equip them to equip the people that they're serving in their identity to fight spiritually and to get free from pornography and sexual sin. So
kind of like this coaching.
That's right. Absolutely. Kind of like coaching.
We are a coaching service.
That's right. Yeah. So, Gavin, you're a missionary with SPO. You've been for like 50 years?
Going on 52.
Okay, cool. So, but in reality, how many years have you been a missionary?
Reality, I've been missionary for 3 years, but I've been at Ohio State for like 4 years now.
Okay, and where'd you come from?
I came from, I guess, Austin, Texas. So I went to school in at Texas State for undergrad.
Yep.
Originally from Dallas, but been living in Ohio for the last 4 years now.
You love Ohio.
Love Ohio. Not enough to get a license yet, but Ohio's my home for sure.
I think Lowell would probably maybe agree. This is actually my first Freedom Retreat since I was an SPO missionary like 4 years ago.
And this is my first one in Ohio.
So we're, first all around. You would probably maybe agree with me. This is the one that have had the most chance, random chance, like at the beginning and end of steps and at the beginning of the retreat in general, that people just chant random things. Would you agree with that?
Okay, I agree with that.
All right.
And I think I just lied. There was a Ohio in Ohio for Indiana school, but we were just across the border in an Airbnb.
That barely counts.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, well,
come on.
I didn't want to lie.
All right, well,
glad you have purity of conscience now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't guys from Ohio.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't think it counts as
Ohio.
Yeah,
it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lowell, you've led a lot of these. What would you say has been unique or cool about being here? We're halfway through, pretty much a little over halfway through the Freedom Retreat. What's been cool? What have you been seeing God do in the young men
that
we're
walking
with?
Like, I love all of them. It's like I love watching the Holy Spirit work in young men's lives. It's a kick to me. It's a kick.
Kick where, Lowell?
It's a
shut up, Max.
It's exciting. It's exciting to me to watch God's Spirit work. Well, maybe not you, but I mean, when the rest of it, no.
Yeah, hey, Lowell, what was the first thing that the first spiritual exercise we did, where we all go to our safe place? What was Max? What was yours, Max? Mine was like my childhood game room is where the Lord brought me back for my safe place. Yeah. What was yours,
Max?
Well, I was told to close my eyes and imagine a safe place, and I was in the womb, and they asked me to describe it, I told them how dark it was, and then I was shamed in front of the group because of that. Just my honesty and purity of heart.
Shamed.
I think that's pretty cool. I think that was actually pretty powerful.
Yeah,
and I think
thought
you maybe
I liked
should have stayed
it, actually.
There. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good thing you were born, though.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We like you better on this side.
That's a positive right there.
Yeah. So, Gavin, you were talking a little bit about the identity exercise we did, which is new for me. We didn't used to do that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I had last run a Freedom Retreat. What was the impact of that going through that lead session Lowell took us through last night?
It was awesome. It was awesome because a lot of the guys, so it was like half the dudes that are on this retreat, I'm leading two small groups right now, DMU, and one of the small groups I'm leading, a lot of guys have a prayer life, and they pray every day. And I think for them, it seemed like when we were leading through the exercise, it was kind of like a simplified version, because sometimes you get like kind of complicated about prayer.
Yeah.
And you made it in a really simple way where the guys were able to enter in, where it was like, actually, it's not that complicated to talk to God. And then another small group I'm leading, really guys who are just kind of getting to know Jesus. And that was really powerful for me watching these other guys, because it was like, that was probably some of their first time really talking to God, besides their like 5 minutes before bed, they maybe said a prayer.
And
God talked
to them.
That's the best part. Yeah. Yeah. And they're open, like sharing about it. I mean, it was super powerful. It was super comfortable talking about it. It was like, it wasn't anything, no pressure. It was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And God talked to me powerfully too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Share something about that. What did God share with you? What did you see? What did you hear?
Yeah. It was
like, what stuck with you?
Cause the first thing, Lowell asked was like, go to that safe place. Like, kind of imagining it before we really get into like the prayer part.
Yeah.
And so I automatically got put in like two different places. It was like, I grew up on a lake, and then, so I got brought back to that lake. And then, there was like another place of me just chilling, watching Avatar Last Airbender, shout out, and, in my game room. And then it was like, Jesus appears. And it was like, you know, it was just like, I was already comfortable in my comfort place. And then Jesus comes in, and now for some reason I'm even more comfortable, even more peaceful, and it was like Jesus coming to me not only as my friend but as my father, you know. It's kind of a good reminder. And then the next thing was share my burden, right? Something like that. And
your biggest burden you carry.
Yeah, and for me, you know, my parents just split up. I'm leading a community at Ohio State, so there's a lot of self reliance and. Gave both those things over to Jesus, and it was just like, you know, and it's kind of funny because it's like those are my two biggest burdens, but I try to pray every day, but when's the last time I talked to Jesus about that, right? It's like all these other things that come up in my day, or trying to learn more about who he is, get smarter in my faith instead of being transformed. Yeah. Sometimes I fall into, and last night it was like Jesus reminding me, actually my whole relationship with you is I want to transform you. And I actually want to give you something as my son. That's what he called me, right? I was like, who am I to you? Or what was the question? It was, after you give him your burden, what does he give you and what does he say to you?
Yeah, what does he call you?
What does he call you? Well, first he gave me the sick sword. I was like, so I give him my burden, and then I was like, so Lowell's like, Jesus wants to give you something. So I was like, sweet, quid quo pro. And so Jesus gives me a sweet Celtic sword. Maybe it's because I'm like part British or something, so the Celtic stuff came out. But like, I was like, awesome. And then, you know, and he wants to call me something. He called me his son, which I said last night. I was like, you have any other name you want to call me? Because he called Lowell something cool. Yeah, something cooler. But you know, my son is pretty sweet, and so
it's like saying you're mine. You're mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Max, last night when we got to that part about what does Jesus call you, he called you soldier.
Yes.
What is that? Have you had a little bit of time to reflect on that and process what you feel like that means and what he's inviting you into in this season, in the present moment, what's come up and sort of what are you wrestling with or thinking about in relationship to being called soldier?
Yeah. So I was like thinking about that actually the whole time he was talking. Like I was listening to him, but I was also thinking about like that specific thing. So like for context, we asked like God, like what he would name us and like how he called him son. I got the word like soldier. And then you posed the question, like, what does that actually mean? And what I was like getting was that God was telling me like, okay, fight, like I want you to fight what needs to be fought, but then, like, also, like, help who needs to be helped. And there was this, we listened to this podcast last night, and part of it was this guy explaining how, like, fighters fight in their own, like, fight in their own identity. So they have, like, sort of like a fighting style. This is kind of going along with Soldier, and I'm, like, connecting the dots last night, like, figuring out, like, wait a minute, like, okay, like, maybe I just, like, a lot of this time I've been, like, whenever I fall into, like, this habitual, like, sin, or, like, I, like, fall into this, like, this feeling of, like, unworthiness because I just, like, can't beat, like, these things that I want to beat. Like, I have this goal, and I just can't, like, do it. And, like, part of it, I think, is, like, I just need to, like, actually embrace, like, my fighting style and not get, like, taken out of my fighting style, because that's how you lose.
Sidetracked, yeah.
Yeah, it can't get sidetracked, so that's kind of what I've been thinking about.
That's awesome. So last night after that, we were in the hot tub together, the three of us and some others, but you were sharing about what came out. Two things that struck me was a desire that you have for poverty and life, and, like, a detachment from riches or wealth or whatever, and, like, just a desire for that, which I think is super unique and cool. And then as you were sharing your story and who you are and the crazy, wild situations you've got yourself into in your life, there's, like, this deep inborn desire for adventure.
Yes.
Which are two things that feel like, to me, are a huge part of your identity and what it means to stay in your identity and fight from there as a soldier. So what do you feel like God is teaching you about those two things, about that, like, that willingness to be poor for him and that deep desire to adventure with him as a soldier, and whatever it looks like as you face, you know, your present moment and your near future?
Right. Okay. So it's kind of a loaded question there, Joe, but I think like, wow. Okay. So I think like, okay, first of all, like the poverty thing that I already know, is going to require even more just like trust that God is going to, like, really provide for me. Like, I desire it, but it's also, like, okay, I need to, like, continually keep reminding myself that, like, if I'm going to do this thing and, like, step out into poverty, whether that's in the future or, like, whether that manifests itself in a different way, like, if I end up having, like, a family, or if I want to give my life to, like, a different cause, like, I think poverty is just going to be something I need to, like, pursue, because I think even in my own, like, life in general, it's easy to sort of, I guess, fall into this idea that it's like all me, and having this, like, poverty even of just of, like, spirit, where I, like, continually remind myself that, like, it's obviously not me. And, like, I can,
like,
hear...
seek first the kingdom of God.
Yes, right. Because somebody can tell me that as many times as they want, but, like, If I'm not seeking it, then everything's just gonna fall apart.
Yeah.
And then what was the second part about
adventure?
Adventure, like,
you're kind of a wild. You're kind of a wild man. You've taken a lot of train rides. You camp. You camp a lot.
Is this gonna go to the authorities?
Of all that, like, I've been in ministry.
What am I confessing here?
I've been in ministry a long time. Had an incredible privilege to walk with a lot of guys, and I've only ever met, and I told you his name last night, one other man who I felt like rivaled what you shared in your story are, for just an innate and inborn desire for adventure. Like, I forget how you described it, but it was like there's more out there. And so I want to want to go and find out the things.
Cause you asked me, you were like, these things you do, I have no desire to do those things. And you're like, what makes you want to do it? And I'm like, well, it's unexplored. Like, why would you not want to go there?
Yeah.
But so last night, what was another thing that was in that podcast was this thing about, like, having your dreams be. So they were talking about King David and the elders that, like, put this armor on David instead of just letting him do his thing with the slingshot. They're like, dude, you're like, you gotta, like, do our ways and
fight the way we
fight. The way we fight.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like, this retreat, I've been thinking about, like, the expectations of my own dad, my own, like, family, like, what's going on in my life, and, like, what they kind of, like, want me to do with my life. But then I'm like, I have these like absurd ideas that like no one, everyone else, like whenever they hear it, they're like, how did you possibly think of that? And I'm like, well, it would be really cool to do that. And they're like, well, like, yeah, it would. So like, this has just been a confirmation. I feel like, do you have something to say, Gavin?
Like, what are one of your ideas? You say one of your ideas. Do the, what's your, I'm sure most of the Dangerous Men listeners know the Free Burma Rangers.
Oh.
What was one of your ideas after you watched that movie?
So one of my ideas.
What did you do after you watched that movie? It wasn't even really an idea.
So like hours following watching the Burma Rangers documentary.
Free Burma Rangers.
Free Burma Rangers. Yeah, yeah. FBR. Me and one of my roommates, Jay, decided to write a letter to Thailand immediately asking if they had any open positions for people over the next couple summers and like how we could pray. And we also, there wasn't really a direct like email link. So we were like, I think Jay made like a $20 donation and was like in the comments, like, yo, like, please like send me your email so that I can like figure out how to like text Dave. So we waited like a long time. Like we waited like a month and a half and we're like, yeah, like, he probably, like, I mean, that letter probably got, like, lost in transit in Burma. But then I received a personal email from Dave Eubank, the guy that founded the Free Burma Rangers. And that was pretty special. He didn't really help the, like, it didn't really quiet the desire at all, actually. It made me want to join even more.
I mean, even if you don't end up being a Free Burma Ranger, right, and joining that ministry, what a cool confirmation of God knowing your heart and knowing you as son and saying, like, I see you. And that's really what you said the content of that email really wasn't like, hey, we're ready for you tomorrow. It was like, it was what we're supposed to do when we confirm a brother's identity. Like, I will hold that for you, and absolutely, that's who you are, pursue it. Right. So it wasn't permission of like, yeah, come over here, join us. It was like, I see that desire in you and confirming, like, push into that because God's at the other end of that pursuit of the willingness to go and join a cause that has adventure, that has a willingness to give all in pursuit of an eternal prize.
And Max is being pretty humble. So I live with Max. We're roommates. We have like 9 roommates. Shout out Sinai, Ohio State. But some of the things that Max does is, like, he's kind of an adventure junkie, I would say. It's, like, he's kind of known for, like, I think the biggest thing you're known for is doing the whole train thing. Like, basically, if you saw the train that you get excited for as a kid, well, imagine jumping on it and just seeing where it takes you. That's what Max does on a normal Tuesday night, okay? There's been some serious growth. But right now it's like Max is the kind of guy where we lead this thing called the Arena. It's basically where we turn boys into men so their future wives and bishops don't have to. And so we have about 130 guys at Ohio State that Max leads one of our small groups. And one of the things that he does is he's kind of cultivated this like spirit of adventure in our men's community. And one of the things is what is it, the sewers, right? So Max is a big fan of Mutant Ninja. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I guess.
Yeah.
And so one of the things Max does is I have that, like, okay, go explore the unexplorable, like, which is a big part of his, like, his purpose.
Charism.
Takes dudes in the sewers, shows them around, where it's just like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been on one sewer adventure.
Yeah.
It was just, I got a private tour of Max.
I mean, there's something in there, right, about pursuing, I mean, the desire, innate desire in a man to pursue things that are risky, to push the boundaries, to encounter fear.
Adventure is in all of us.
Yeah.
All men want adventure.
Yeah.
It's a great adventure.
Yeah.
And that's why I continually say, you know, following Jesus and his spirit is the greatest adventure we could ever get.
Yeah.
I mean, we get to do things that he tells us, like the Holy Spirit says to do something, and it's always out of our comfort zone. It's always pushing us. It always costs us something, and it's always this great adventure to see what he does.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's part of the faith.
Yep.
We walk in faith.
Yep.
And that podcast, so people know, I stole all that stuff from Jamie Winship, so you should check him out. Yeah, check him out. He's a good man.
So, Gavin, you, over the past year, and John Packer Stevenson at Ohio State University alongside you, have been using Dangerous Men with Arena guys, as you guys have been building the college campus ministry through SPO, that you've built and, like you said, initiating boys into men. Talk a little bit about how you've seen Dangerous Men playing a role, walking sort of side by side with the other elements and things that you guys have put in place to be able to do the adventure and other things, and what it's formed in guys that you wouldn't have been able to create otherwise.
So about 3 years ago, we started this thing called The Arena, which is modeled after the Theodore Roosevelt Man in the Arena speech. And this we always kind of pick a couple of different one-liners from the speech to kind of harp into. And this year it was a man who strives greatly, or dares greatly, strives valiantly, and spends his life for a worthy cause. And we found with the DMU stuff where it's actually really hard to do any of that if you're still under, like, some spiritual bondage, right? And especially when it comes to, like, lust, which is, like, one of the biggest things we see on a college campus, sexual sin, sexual impurity. And we found with DMU, it's just a tactful, easy way to, like, actually, like, equip guys with, like, the ability to renounce, sin, spiritual attack.
We call it the tools to use to renounce.
Yeah, so it's, like, it's been one of the best ways we've been able to equip guys in the arena.
Yep.
And so we have one small group right now is, like, testing it out, because I'm the only one who's gone fully through Dangerous Men, so I'm leading two of the groups, but hopefully after this freedom retreat, we have some more emerging leaders in the arena taking more guys through the content. But we've even taken some of the stuff and applied it to our men's group book, or especially when it comes to, like, specifically, like, renouncing, like, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil, and, like, actually, like, we have a full chapter that's actually, like, that's the chapter, the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Yeah.
And we've taken a lot of principles from the Dangerous Men book and actually applied it to guys to equip dudes. But that's just one chapter. But I mean, the taking dudes through the whole, like, book, I mean, there's just nothing like it, you know? I mean,
so what? Full effect. Yeah, tell me a little bit more. What have you seen? You know, you've been here 3 years,
3 years,
right?
Yeah.
So what have you seen, or even in your prior experience being a student before that, what have you seen the difference is between a guy who's involved in your ministry, who's been through Dangerous Men, and a guy who hasn't? What are those elements or differences that you see?
Well, guys who've been through our ministry are a lot bigger, a lot more manlier, a lot more T levels are significantly
just a
higher.
Dude. Yeah, just a straight man. Just total hoss.
That's the number one way. But I mean, I remember I was in a fraternity all through college, and I mean, you're just basically walking and just getting spiritually, like, nuked, every day, and it's just you become numb to it. You like don't even recognize that the things that I'm doing are so normalized that are, like, killing me. You know, like St. Paul says, like, whoever lives by the flesh dies by the flesh, right? But I had no idea. I thought that was just life. And then through this last 3 years of being a missionary and really, like, being connected with St. Paul's Outreach, and then really through I did Dangerous Men my first year on staff, and, like, the things that were normalized to me started making sense of why I started feeling like why I was feeling like crap all the time.
Yep.
And then I was able to, like, kind of go through the day, and whenever whatever would come at me, it was making sense of, oh, that's a lie. Like, that's actually not me. It's not definitely not God. Like, that's actually the enemy's voice. And after learning everything through, like, the Dangerous Men's book, I was able to really start understanding when I'm getting attacked, what's triggering me. Like, and how can I, like, be up against it and actually, like, follow what the Lord's purpose is for my life?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, and now I'm seeing it, especially with some of the guys who are doing Dangerous Men for the first time that are really in their beginning stages of walking with the Lord, right? So they're even, I'm watching.
That's the fun part to watch.
It's insane.
God is actually working in them, and you can watch it and you can see it. Like last night when they were hearing God's Spirit, it's like,
I think it was like chapter 4 or 5, one of the chapters, where it was like I watched all the light bulbs go off. They're like, oh, dude, that's a sin? Wow, that's... and then the next week they come back in, and I'm like, hey, so like how did this week go? And they're like, dude, so I was about to jerk off, and then I took that spirit and I cast it in hell, and I didn't. And everyone's going crazy, you know. And it was just, it was just like, and then dudes come back like, bro, I think my timeline has readjusted because I just had a wet dream last night and people are just going insane. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's just awesome. That's awesome. It's just hilarious. You know, none
you
of
might have to have some context
that.
For that.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Good. I mean, I'm, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, give the context. You wrote the book. You got to give the context.
It's, I mean, it's amazing. So much, I mean, the chapter on sexuality is about celebrating it, right? And in most men, especially men that grew up in a Christian context, celebrating it has been celebrating it through impurity or sinning, you know, celebrating sinning in it. That's locker room culture, right? And, but what does it look like to celebrate in our sexuality in a healthy and holy way? Yeah. Before we're participating in like the act of sexuality in the context of marriage, how do we live that out well as young men? That's, I think, so much practically what guys don't really see an alternative for in their day-to-day walk. Like, I don't know anyone outside of Been Dangerous Men that's been like shown from another guy how to live that well. Like, here's what it looks like to live sexuality well outside the context of marriage and celebrate it at the same time and like in freedom, in joy.
Well, and that's a big reason why we've adopted it, because we're at the arena and what we're doing at SBO Ohio State is like, we want to bring our masculinity to our faith.
Yeah.
And a big part of that is like, you look at all the other masculine environments. So like fraternities, football games, NASCAR, it's a rowdy environment. Yeah. You get rowdy. You get to celebrate for the boys. And a lot of times it's centered around what you're saying is like sin. But like Dangerous Men is kind of teaching us how to now have that same rowdy environment for holy things.
Yeah.
Like actually like ordered sexuality. Like, and how do we get hyped up? You know, it's like.
That's all the chance.
Yeah. But you can have that same atmosphere even for when your boy's getting holy. You know, it's like.
My
boy's getting holy. You know? It's like fire me up. You know, it's, I mean, yeah, it's so. That's
a sick intro, like that clip.
The boy's getting holy.
Well, yeah. The boy's getting holy. You know?
Okay, here. You guys can do the intro together.
I don't know. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Wait, what? Are we orchestrating this?
The boy's getting holy.
The boy's getting holy. You got to do it on the same time. Man. Go ahead. Count
together.
Down.
One, two, three.
Your boy's getting holy.
There it is.
But,
there it is.
But. Yeah, I think Dangerous Men is, and just to say, last year we had a Steps of Freedom retreat where we took, I think 65, 75, somewhere around there, guys.
Yep.
Where we had Casey Dynan come out.
Your boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Mammoth from Minnesota, which I guess that's more of you, but like he's more like the saber-toothed tiger from Minnesota. Yeah. But he came out with 8 guys from the what are they called? The Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, and we just guys got free. It was awesome, and it was in a rowdy environment, just the same way that we are trying to cultivate Ohio State. So it's been sweet.
That's awesome, Max. Through step 5 now. We just got done with pride and humility, renouncing all pride, and before that, talking about submission and rebellion. I don't want to focus
spiritual authority.
If you don't want to on those 2 steps in particular, but what's been the impact? What's been the biggest thing that you feel like stuck out or that God's highlighted for you as you prayed into each one of those first 5 steps? What's really resonated and it felt like something shifted in you as you've prayed through today?
Mm-hmm. So whenever we're kind of working through like a lot of the pride material, I guess I didn't realize like how much I just like, I will kind of like wallow in this idea of like either like I sometimes have this issue where I'll just like call out random stuff just because I feel the need to, even though it's like not beneficial to the problem. Like, I think one of the things was like, one of the like check boxes that you could like pray about was like, is this actually going to help with like the problem or the solution? And that one, I was like, I had to think about it a lot. Cause I was like, okay, like there's really there's just honestly a lot of material I never really thought about. And so I kind of, me and my fighting partner were like working through it, and I could see like a lot of this was just like this impulse. Like I just like didn't have any sort of like control or check on like the way that I like behave sometimes. And it was kind of eye opening. And one thing I shared with like kind of the whole group at the end was how a lot of the issues could just be solved if I just like shut up and like submitted to God and wasn't just like a firecracker all the time and felt like everybody needed to hear my opinion. I think you said it, Lowell, like, or you said like just like let your opinion die, like kill your opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was,
I want to bury my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I shared with the guys after that session. I think it was after what you shared. There's a pretty pivotal thing for me to consider at that point in my life, being a young leader and like you've shared, like trying to exercise leadership when you're just screwing most of it up. But you, and so much of it is, if you're being honest with yourself, faking it and trying to apply the things that you've taken from other people and exercise them in your own leadership, while also trying to acknowledge the fact that you feel like God's given you the gift of leadership, and so to walk in it, you're going to make mistakes, right? And that is humility to both know your identity and begin to walk in it, and to be able to have the humility to acknowledge that you fail and you mess up, and that that's okay as well. And I remember talking to a leader at one point, sharing with him a lot of the things that I was wrestling with that, quite frankly, were my opinions of the way that I thought our ministry should go or our work should go or why I was right about everything. And he said to me, "You have the gift of leadership, but if you ever want that gift to be everything that God could make it, you have to die to your opinion and let your only opinion be Jesus's opinion." And to me, that was like a massive light bulb going off in my head of like, that's probably how Jesus works with me in normal, like simple, straightforward, non-theological language. So my prayer became like, Jesus, kill my opinion and let my only opinion be yours. And then it was so easy for me to see things that were coming up and not judge them, but see things that weren't Jesus's opinion, like that other people would share. And again, not judge that as like, but like, okay, I can consider that, but also be okay with the fact like, Jesus, that's not you. And I just want you, and make that as a young leader trying to figure out how to do all the stuff, to just only consider the stuff that Jesus was highlighting for me to do and then just focus on that and help me simplify so much of life and work and trying to apply this big unknown of becoming something I totally wasn't at that point in my life, and like let go of trying to be something apart from myself. So yeah, I think that's a huge part of the journey of learning to submit, and the joy of it. Like learning to submit is actually a whole lot of fun, and then Jesus starts to do fun, cool stuff that you get to be a part of.
Yeah, he could finally, it's like, finally I could use you.
Yeah,
you're submitting to me.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, the key story for me before, I mean, that was after I went through Dangerous Men the first time, but when I was in college, I was a DJ. So I've been a DJ since I was in eighth grade. And I fell away from my faith beginning to college, was partying all the time, medicating a whole bunch. And Dangerous Men was the first small group I was ever a part of in college, where I met young men who were totally normal, cool, average guys that I wanted to be like, but also freaking love Jesus. And that was like, I've never met people like that. I want that. And then I got introduced to everything that we're talking about this week, and identity and freedom, and walking out of that first session of sharing my whole story in the Dangerous Men group, and then walking out of the Freedom Retreat, feeling a level of, and experiencing a level of freedom I'd never tasted in my life. So I go through all of that, and so my life starts to change. At that point, I had a DJ residency with one of the top DJs in Minnesota at the college bar that everybody knew, high school and underage college students went to. So college bars are good bars, but that was not a good bar. But I was living out my dream. Like I desired attention. I desired to be in the spotlight. I wanted to feel like enough. I wanted to be a man, and it was feeding all of that. And so I loved it. But it came to the point where it was a Monday, and the following Saturday was going to be the first date that I ever had my own like headlining spot at this bar, because this guy was taking that Saturday off. And so I was approaching like the breakout of my dream. Like I'm finally becoming who I want to become. And I'm all this attention and I'm going to be the coolest guy ever, you know, all this stuff. And I got to that Monday and I just knew at the core of my being, I had to say no. Because I knew if I went down that road and became who Joe wanted to be, I would lose myself in the process. And even though it would feel good in the moment, it would destroy me. And so I gave it up. I called the bar owner. I was like, hey, I can't do it this Sunday. I'm sorry. He was super pissed. And but for me, that was like what it looked like at that point in my life to submit. Like and to me, it meant like laying down everything I wanted and had held as sacred up to that point in my life. And it wasn't just a job. It wasn't just like a cool opportunity. It was like who I want to become. Fine. You can have it, Jesus. And I think it was middle of January. Almost exactly a year later, I got a phone call from somebody I didn't know that was a friend of a friend of a friend that said, hey, I know this person who I only had ever met once in my life. He's a DJ, and he's looking for another DJ to help him DJ for Red Bull Crashed Ice down on 7th Street. Red Bull Crashed Ice, they build a giant ice luge, and then skaters skate down the middle of it. So here I am, almost 1 year removed from submitting my life to Jesus and giving up my dream, and then intentionally not DJing anything for almost a year, and I got this opportunity out of the blue to DJ in a tricked-out mobile fire truck in front of 15,000 people, open format, all of my favorite music that I absolutely love, and the whole time... The only thing I could think was God loves his boy and knows his son's heart, you know? And I'm like up there having the absolute like rave time of my life that I was trying to get up in the bar, and I wouldn't have experienced any of that. I would continue to experience loneliness and shame and isolation and medicating and drinking and numbing and trying to have the experience that if I was willing to let go, he'd allow me to experience by submitting to him. And that's what it means for me when it means like submitting is fun is like, yeah, you have to give away, you have to risk giving away your dreams. But what I've found is as I've given away my life to Jesus.
You have to give away your dreams to Jesus.
Right. You have to give them, you have to be willing to give it all, to give them away. And then you realize that Jesus, that your Father put that heart inside of you. That's what I found.
And he could do it a lot better than we
could. And it's a heck of a lot more fun and fulfilling and rewarding, and it actually stays with you. It doesn't just disappear. Yeah.
I mean, come on, Red Bull?
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it's the difference. I mean, for me, it was like practically, it's like 100 people, underage kids in a dark, sleazy bar, or 15,000 people on a street in the middle of January in a T-shirt. Like DJing like all of the EDM music that I've ever sat in my dorm room like dreaming of playing in front of a festival stadium, and Jesus won that for me, and he chose that for me. He didn't choose that, and all I had to do was submit to him and give up the little thing to have the thing that was so much better. And I've only seen that's like the big example as a young man that I saw him fulfill it, that I always go back to, and I've seen that play out over and over and over and over again.
Over and over.
Of the more I submit. Yeah.
Because, I mean, so the older I got, the less certain things I could do, but I could do other things. But the adventure just keeps going.
Yeah.
You know, there's always something new. There's always something cool that he's up to.
That's only if you submit to the Lord.
Yeah.
See, what would you guys say to the, I don't know, 19-year-old guy watching Andrew Tate and David Goggins saying that, well, that's not what the world as a man is telling me to do. The world as a man is telling me to take life by the balls, and why would I ever submit? You know? Well, what would you guys say to that?
Why would you ever submit?
Yeah, like, why would you submit to Jesus? Because this is such a countercultural thing to do, which is, obviously, I'm on board for it, but, like, for those listening, like, why would they?
Jesus is always countercultural.
Yeah.
All the way through Scripture, he's countercultural. Everything he tells you to do. It said, you know, if you want to be great, you know, submit. If you want, everything he says is opposite of what the world says. Yeah. Well, of course. You know, of course.
Yeah, my answer would be God frustrates the plans of the wicked. I remember waking up the day after I gave away my virginity, laying in bed as a freshman, feeling like I had traded away the only thing a good little Christian boy was hold on to, and that was very close to my rock bottom. And I, clear as day, it's one of the probably three times in my life I feel like I heard a near audible voice. And the question, the statement or question or the thing I heard wasn't condemning. It was a question, and it was, is this the life you want to live?
Mm. Yeah.
And I knew I had a choice. And the fact was I was frustrated and miserable living the life as the party boy I was living to try to have what I felt like I never had, which was the affection of other people, feeling like I'm enough, having happiness that sticks, having joy, feeling like a man, having the capacity and confidence to be everything that I want to have. And I could do that for a couple hours when I was drunk. I could feel like I had that for a couple hours, and then it was gone. Yeah. And so I knew
it's the illusion of that.
Right. So when I woke up in the pit of the reality of who I was, and that question was posed to me, being wicked at that point, he asked me gently, is that still what you want? Or are you frustrated? And I said, I'm frustrated, you know? And at that point in my life, I was willing to, as a 19, I think it was 19, 8, no, 18, 18, 19-year-old kid, was willing to get on my knees and cry out to a God I barely knew for a life I didn't know I could have, and said, okay, I'm ready. And so that's what I would say to you if you're listening, you're 19, and you're like, well, I'd rather do it that way. Go for it. I tried that once too. And I bet you'll end up frustrated. And when you're frustrated, let's go.
Well, yeah, and because that's one of the biggest things I've learned is, like, the Lord will never be outdone in generosity. And it's like, I remember – everything that you're saying, I resonate a ton with, because, like, I also wanted to be like the life of the party guy. But I was also, like, in college worshiping the God of money, to where I was doing door-to-door sales along with, like, running my own business, which my uncle taught me how to do this abstract art painting thing, where living in Austin, Texas at the time, it, like, I just posted a couple pictures of my paintings on Instagram, and it took off, made like $6,000 in a month, on top of what I was making and doing door-to-door sales. And I was like, kind of what you're saying, almost building your own kingdom.
Yeah.
And I had all this money, was able to pay off college, like all this other crazy stuff, to where like any 22-year-old dude would be like, man, I'm rolling in it. And then there came a point where, like, I had this vision for my life where I was like, I want to go travel the world. I want to go and, like, get with the prettiest girls. I want to have the best business. I want to be my family's first billionaire, because that's what every 19 to 22 year old in the United States thinks they can do, is become a billionaire. That's like the whole point of life at that point in your life. You're at that age in this generation. And I definitely was sucked into it. All the YouTube guys that were like, if you follow this plan on Shopify, you will be a millionaire like me. Like, that was that was like the stuff I was, you know, too. But I was like, I was finding success in it, and I was finding a lot of my identity in it too. And then there came a point where I denied living with a group of friends that I knew I should have lived with. I was SPO at the time at Texas State. And I was like, actually, no, guys, I'm going to do my thing and build my own kingdom. You're trying to build this other kingdom for God. I get that. I like God, but not enough to give what I'm building away. And slowly but surely, the Lord, like, I wrestling with God, I had to give it up. Because I mean, there was an obvious path that he was calling me down.
Yeah.
And then as an SBO missionary, kind of submitting my life to Jesus and, like, doing something countercultural where it's like, wait, all my friends, right? You're going to fundraise your salary. You're going to ask people to give you
crazy
money. And then you're going to go live in Ohio. You idiot. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but everyone's moving to Texas. Especially Austin,
wrong
Texas.
Direction,
they're like, what? In tarnation, which none of us say that, by the way, but all my friends in Texas were like, what the hell are you doing? And I looked at him and I was like, I have no idea, but I believe in Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And since then, it's like, he's taken me around the world. It showed me a life that, like, yeah, I don't make as much money, but I feel like I'm, your line, one of the wealthiest men I've ever met. I would argue I'm in the top 10 of guys I've met, but I'm only 25, but
like, you got a long ways to go.
But, like, you know, since then, it's like the Lord, kind of what you're saying, of you had that moment where you're able to, like, have that EDM or DJ set. Like, this last summer, I was actually able to take Max along with three other students to Europe on a 22-day backpacking trip. We went to Spain, rented a car out in Italy, drove through like the Italian coast all the way up through Switzerland to Germany, and then from Germany went through the Dolomite Mountain Range, which if you have never heard of the Dolomite Mountain Range, stop what you're doing right now and look it up. It is one of the coolest places I've ever been to in my life. And then went all the way back down, made it to Rome, and then flew out of Rome. It took us 22 days. And, like, the Lord provided along the way. Like, there was so many people who were generous enough to host us.
Yep.
We got to stay in some of our, like, heroes of the faiths, like places where they grew up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awesome. And then now, Lord, it brought me to the Dangerous Men's Leader Retreat. So that same summer, I went to go
jeeping in Colorado. Literally
take 16 Jeeps in 4,000 feet up in the air. and I mean, so it was one of the...
It's 14,000.
14,000. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
We might be like, yeah, we're on a hill right now, yeah, 10 feet in the air. Yeah. but I mean, so what you're saying is like when you do submit your life to Jesus, he shows you that like, his plan is way far better than whatever your plan is. Like,
and we don't do it because it gets better and cooler. We do it because he asks us to submit to him because he's got a plan for us.
Yeah. Right.
He's got a plan for each one of us that Max can do something for him that I can't do and you can't do. You know, but you could do something that Joe can't do.
Yep.
And that we want to get to there to bring God's kingdom to this earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right, we're going to wrap it up here real quick. I'm going to give everybody one chance talking to the guy. The guys watching this, one of my favorite quotes is from Ed Milet. I think maybe he was quoting somebody else, but he said, you're best equipped to serve the person you used to be. So I wanted you to talk to the guy that you used to be as you reflect on where you are today. What do you want to say to that guy? A word of encouragement, a word of life, a word of identity or truth that he needs to hear today. You got the microphone in front of you, Gavin, so you're going. Spot.
Sweet. Well, that's funny you asked that question. I was reading a journal entry from 2018. I think I was 20 years old. Rock bottom, lost in sexual sin, full-blown sex addict. And I remember hitting a rock bottom point. What I would say to that guy now, knowing what I know now, is that you have been chosen. Like God has a plan for you. And you're not in a place where, like, you're unseen. That's a complete lie. Like, God sees you. And there are people and men that want to teach you how to be a man the right way, the way that the Lord has intended it. And the biggest thing to do is if you can't find hope right now, turn to Jesus, because that's what he does. He gives you hope, and that's where the lost are found. So if I had I guess that would be what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right, Max.
Yeah. So whenever I was thinking about this, the one thing that just like immediately came to mind was I was kind of thinking about how I was in high school, and I was also thinking about my like older journal entries. So I thought I had lost this journal from a few years ago. Also from, it wasn't 2018, it was like 2020, whenever COVID hit and I was in high school. That sucked. But basically like this premise that I kept seeing was I wasn't like basically being honest with myself. Like be so honest with yourself and realize that you are not like you absolutely like cannot like do it on your own. Like I would read days upon days where I was like, I would like try to like console myself or like, it would just be like, I just can't get rid of this sin. Like, I don't know what's going on. And then like, there was this moment over like winter break of my like sophomore, junior year of high school where I had this like conversation with my younger brother. We were sitting on this like wood chip pile and it was like, I sat with him and I was like, dude, like, I don't know, like, what's going on? And he was like, I don't know either, but we got to like figure this out. And like, kind of born out of that honesty was like genuine brotherhood. It's like, my overall message is like, be honest with yourself and seek people that are actually going to get, like, shit done. Because you can't get stuff done on yourself because you don't have, like, you don't have everything. Obviously, you don't have everything together because, yeah, that's what I would say.
Awesome.
That's kind of off the cuff. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's great.
I wasn't really
something
prepared.
I love
that's that. The point.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think high school kids think they have it all together. You know, yeah. It's like, oh, man, you have no idea.
Yeah. All right, Lowell. Yeah. How about you? Talk to the man you used to be.
Talk to
tell
the
him,
man I used to be.
Tell him what he needs to hear.
It's basically the same thing I tell myself today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the rest. And I can't do any better than that.
Yeah.
So it was like when I first, when I was in the Army and God was talking to me about this kid I caught shoplifting, and he wanted me to let him live with me. And I get home and he shows up at my door, and it's like, oh, God, you set this up for me. And on and on and on, you know, over years of and 1,000 stories.
Yeah.
God has always set things up to me because I always will attempt to choose to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness because I love the adventure.
Yeah.
I love what he does.
Yeah.
It's just pretty dang cool.
Yeah. Amen. And I would say you are not alone. You need to let go. And you need to beg the Lord to bring mentors in your life who can take you to the place that you never imagined possible to go. Because when I got on my knees, the one thing that Jesus put in my life was like your uncle for you to show you how to get rich through abstract art. It was men who could show me how to be free. And I would have never got there unless mentors, men that were further down the road than myself, came into my life and showed me where to go. And if you want that, you can go to dmu.org. You can go to spo.org. You can find any of us on social media. You can follow us, Dangerous Men United, and reach out. You can reach out and say, I need help. It's that simple. I need help. That's what we, Lowell and I, do. We coach guys to get free from pornography, to find their identity, and to learn to fight spiritually. And if you're in college, these two are doing it full-time as a student and as a missionary.
Come hang.
So
if you're at Ohio State.
You are
check
not.
Check out our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff.
That's
if
right.
If you want help, there's a lot of places to get help.
Yeah.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining.
Subscribe. Yeah, subscribe, Lowell. Do you know what subscribing is,
Lowell? Smash that like button.
Yeah, smash that like button, dude.
That was so Gen Z of you.
Wow, yeah, there you go, Lowell.
Yeah. That was based. Is that it?
That was based.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I don't know.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for joining. Like he said, smash the like button, subscribe. Find us everywhere you can find us, and come on, get free. A man to man, a warrior to demons, and you are always God's boy.